I think the pace at which we have seen each of these things get better. So the if you look at all the modes, both input as well as what it outputs, all of those are getting so much better. For the longest time, none of the AI supported having images as input. So giving an image or a video and saying, extract something out of this, or explain something, or, you know, change it in some way and generate another output. So both input and output of all the different kinds of media was not there. So as that gets better, somebody like Rocketeam really, really benefits from it. But at the same time, there is an existential risk almost, because if it could do everything that Rocketeam does, then somewhere every company that wants to solve this problem could get to the same place that Rocketeam has. But that's the cost of progress. There has to be creative destruction. We have ruined some lives because some companies who were building software didn't do what we were doing and they lost to us.
Welcome to the AI Marketing Navigator, where we simplify AI marketing to keep you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by DigitalPop, delivering AI marketing automation so your small business thrives. Here's your host, Alex Carlson.
Are there any pitfalls that maybe you've seen or encountered at Rocketeam, or you've seen your clients encounter when you're either just starting out using AI or maybe considering starting to implement, whether it's a custom solution or adding more context? Can you give us some maybe common pitfalls to look out for, or some advice on what to avoid doing maybe?
Yeah, so one is most of these mistakes are reversible. The only mistake is being closed-minded and not trying something. So not worrying about how you are working or trying to improve it. That I would say is the only irreversible mistake. But otherwise, most decisions are reversible. The half-life of any mistake is very, very short. So some of the mistakes that I have seen, for example, in the case of one of our customers who was in the early days of generative images, they were using a lot of these kinds of generated images in their ads. And with our analytics, they were able to find that these AI generated images were performing a lot worse than real humans. So you could tell at that time either because of the kind of images that they were making, or maybe they lacked humans in it, or whatever it was, people were able to tell. And we can never say looking at data why the data is a certain way, but at least you know that it is a certain way. So we do know that for them, all the AI generated stuff didn't really work. And yeah, the other stuff is more during adoption. Some teams, the egos come into play. Sometimes they want to adopt software, but then AI security committees come in and say that, hey, you can't use so-and-so thing because there is AI in it. So some of that is a challenge that they've encountered. But otherwise, most things, they make a mistake, they see something and they correct it. But the problem is that because it is AI, you can always point to it and say that, hey, you goofed up and you made this mistake. But if a person would have done it, you wouldn't have pointed at that person, because you would have said, hey, that's how business is. You know that not every marketing campaign is going to work. Not every ad is going to work. So we tried something, it didn't work. But because you know AI has done it, you can point a finger at it. So some of that always happens.
I love that. The biggest mistake you can probably make is just not having an open mind and using these tools at all. That's I totally agree. Let's talk a little about you've been recognized for your expertise in retail with Rocketeam, particularly particularly with AI innovation in retail. But I want to ask you, beyond retail, maybe with current clients or current users of Rocketeam, can you give us maybe an industry or a market that's really ripe for more analytics and its creative content, or AI content creation in general? Are you seeing any trends or spikes in any other markets or in your usership or anything like that?
Yeah, so financial services is another one where we have a few customers, and it makes a lot of sense. They are products in some ways. Those products are tailored to different people. People at different stages of life want different financial products, whether credit cards or loans or any sort of investment products. So being able to tailor the message to each of those audiences, keep trying different kinds of things that would work, getting people, touching them at every stage of the funnel and influencing them to take action. So financial services is certainly one, but we've seen that something like this is most useful when you have many products, many kinds of audiences, many ways to connect with them. If it is, no offense, but if it is oil and gas, there is only one or two kinds of relationships that you would have with that provider. Many a time, it is not even a provider that you have a relationship with. So if they ran ads for you, they did content for you, say, okay.
Sure. Okay. Makes sense. Let's talk.
And I hope to win some oil and gas customers someday, but really today, I would recommend that they do not invest in this.
No, I totally appreciate it. If you can tell the people that your product is not for, that it's not for them right now, then that's just as valuable as offering to help someone who it is for. And that's word salad, but the navigators out there have learned to understand my random tangents. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about, I like to talk about misconceptions in AI. We could also call them pet peeves. So let's talk a little bit about AI pet peeves. You are someone who's deeply immersed in the space. What are those most frustrating misconceptions, implementation styles, the hype cycles, which I have to admit, I've definitely taken part in the hype cycles being an AI content creator myself, trying to do less of that. Can you talk about where all those cringe AI stuff comes in for you?
Yeah, so most times it comes from somebody who is not experiencing pain today, because somebody who's experiencing pain, they just want a painkiller. They don't care if it comes in a liquid or solid or gel or powder or whatever, right? Just solve my pain right now. People who do not have a pain, they have the luxury of pontificating and saying that AI should do this or it should not do this. So this includes people who are in not in a buying role, but in some sort of influencing role of that, right? They might say that, oh, why isn't AI doing all of this? And then somebody who actually does this rolls their eyes. You might say that, oh, but I should be able to type this prompt and it should tell me how I can make all my campaigns so much better. Yeah, but if every company typed it, would every company's ad campaigns get better? That's just physically impossible, right? Somebody has to win for somebody else to lose. So that is one category. The other category are people who are not practicing on the other side, who are not trying to sell to customers, who are not trying to build something for customers, but trying to get, you know, famous out sure. of this one. So people who are not building it might not know enough about that tech and might dismiss something just because it doesn't have AI or doesn't have AI in the way they would see that. And a lot of that category as a founder that I would deal with are investors. Mm. That they would see something, they would have that as the canonical image for what an AI system should do. Anything else for them would not be AI, right? So mostly people who are not in the business of solving real problems, that is really my pet peeve. Most times if customers who have a pain point, they would approach it in a very pragmatic way. And if you say this can be done with AI, they say, okay, if it cannot be done by AI, that's okay. Can you still do it?
I see. I couldn't agree more. Another area I like to explore, a question I like to ask is, if we were to look ahead maybe 2 to 3 years at the emerging AI capabilities, particularly in content creation, we can even keep it in the retail space. Is there anything that you think would be a true game changer right now in the space? Is there anything that you're most excited about AI being able to accomplish? Basically, is there something that if AI could do it today, it would level up your Rocketeum and AI content creation in general? What are you looking forward to in AI?
I think the pace at which we have seen each of these things get better. So the if you look at all the modes, both input as well as what it outputs, all of those are getting so much better. For the longest time, none of the AI supported having images as input. So giving an image or a video and saying, extract something out of this or explain something or, you know, change it in some way and generate another output. So both input and output of all the different kinds of media was not there. So as that gets better, somebody like Rocketeum really, really benefits from it. But at the same time, there is an existential risk almost, because if it could do everything that Rocketeum does, then somewhere every company that wants to solve this problem could get to the same place that Rocketeum has. But that's the cost of progress. There has to be creative destruction. We have ruined some lives because some companies who were building software didn't do what we were doing and they lost to us. And if we don't keep up, we have the chance of losing. So, yeah, I would say I can see the same sort of exponential growth. I don't think I foresee anything fundamentally new that is going to happen because I feel all the pieces are in place. They should just start working a lot better. And as the cost comes down, that also is actually a very exponential thing, right? That if cost is a fraction of what it can do today, people will use it for everything, right? Today, I never use any of these things as an assistant where I talk to it all the time because there is a cost to it. I have to subscribe and it has only so many prompts that I could do. But cost going down is going to be a game changer. Each of these things getting marginally better every week is going to be a game changer. But yeah, at least I'm not thinking of humanoid robots or any of virtual reality and some of those things just yet.
Very fair. And I think you're right. Things like the cost going down, the adoption going up throughout the vast majority of the population who has not even who could barely tell you the difference between ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini. And we live in this kind of bubble of early adoption right now as well. So I often wonder what the next 2 to 3 years look like when Apple finally gets their game together and has a decent Siri AI experience for all Apple users, things like that.
2027.
Yeah, exactly. We just have to wait a couple years. Crazy how far behind. But Apple, they may be delayed, but when they deliver something, I just said in yesterday's episode, I wouldn't bet against Apple long term still. Anyway, you mentioned just how rapid the state of progress is and all of these AI tools. We've talked a couple times on this show about almost the anxiety inducing nature of how fast AI tools are coming out every day, and you feel the need to stay on top of it. I can only imagine what that pressure is like as a founder of and a leader of an AI company as well. What strategies or what recommendations can you give our listeners to staying on top of everything? What do you do to stay on top of all the news and updates? How do you stay focused? Any advice for the listeners on that type of stuff?
Yeah, so we have a fairly large team, so everyone is plugged in and their spidey sense goes off for everything. So in terms of keeping in touch, I don't do anything extra because every day between customers and investors and my own team, they keep forwarding something or the other saying, "Oh my God, the game has changed. Oh, everything is going to be different now," which is some hyperbole, but mostly true that every day something new and interesting is happening. But in terms of staying grounded, really my only truth is either my team or my customers. So as long as something fundamentally nothing is changing there, I'm good. So even as the sea bobs up and down, I keep looking at the lighthouse, and that is really where I get my stability. So if customer problems are not changing, if my team is doing okay mentally, emotionally, all of that, I'm good.
Amazing. I really like that, the focus on what is truly important. So given your vantage point of working with brands globally, what do you think is the single most important thing that our listeners or marketers, if you could have them take away one thing from today's conversation about AI in content creation, but also AI in data analysis behind your content creation, if there's one thing that you could have the listeners take away today, what would that be?
Yeah, I would go directly after our number one competition. That is what I would recommend, which is status quo. I would recommend everyone to be more respectful of their own times, families, hobbies, friends, and just expect more from your daily life and the software that you would use. Don't settle for what you have. Just demand more out of it. Just get more angry and more frustrated with the BS that you have to deal with, because the moment you get angry, the moment you feel the pain, the moment you want to solve something, Rocket Team is going to be there. So yeah, just get more angry, get more loud, get more pissed off.
Amazing. Love that. Thank you so much again, Satej, for being here. Guys, definitely check out Rocket TM. It may be about time to do a deep dive on the tool, just do an entire episode on it. I think a full-on deep dive episode on Rocket DM is definitely in the works. Satej, where can the listeners find you? Where should they, if they want to ask you any questions? Obviously, guys, check out Rocket DM, but are you on LinkedIn? Where can they contact you?
Yeah, so Alex, LinkedIn is the best place. I try to be active there, but these days with all the hype, I've kept a bit of a low profile, but I'll be a lot more active with some of the new stuff we are doing with the product. But please hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm fairly active there. Our website, I think, does a good job of explaining our point of view, what we stand for, the kind of customers that we help. So please definitely check that out.
Awesome. And thank you so much for being with us again, Satej. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me, Alex. I love the questions.
Thanks for listening to the AI Marketing Navigator. Ready to simplify your own marketing automation? Digital Pop helps make it happen so your small business can scale your marketing fast. Learn more at thedigitalpop.com.